8 years after the collapse of managed investment schemes in timber, fruit and other projects, attention is again focused on the financial advisers who recruited investors. A royal commission, a judicial inquiry, a reopening of the Australian Securities and Investments Commission's investigation. They're all options being discussed by former investors and their advocates. But the federal government has ruled out a royal commission into financial services, despite a host of banks, individuals and companies under investigation. Serena Locke has this special report.
Naomi Halpin has become a voice for victims, presenting evidence to the Senate inquiry into the failed agribusiness schemes that they feel ashamed, despairing and broke.
Well, the first I realised that things were going wrong was around November 2008 when the GFC hit, and I started to get emails for margin calls, the share portfolio had collapsed, loans that I didn't know I had been put in for these agribusinesses. I started to get phone calls from creditors saying you're behind in your repayments, and it was just a total overwhelming nightmare where I had no idea what was happening, how it happened. I was absolutely terrified.
The people who had a stake in the failed agribusiness schemes were not all wealthy city lawyers or doctors, but office managers, mechanics, animal carers, teachers and small business owners.
Greg White's my name. I currently operate a small business just north of Shepparton.
How old are you now, Greg?
55.
Were you supposed to still be working at 55? That's not so old, is it?
I had planned to probably be near the end now.
Why?
I just always had thought that I would save all my money and have a comfortable retirement early rather than spending a lot of money early on.
Are you comfortable?
Not anymore, I'm not, no.
What happened?
I had an accountant.
Greg White claims he was a victim of bad financial advice. His trusted Melbourne accountant convinced him to borrow against his shares to buy more shares in a margin loan portfolio. He also signed him up to managed investment schemes. The lure was a tax-deductible slice of agricultural projects with high returns, growing olives, mangoes, avocados, timber, grapes, and wine.
From 1999, 2000, 2001, I took on three schemes. I had a lovely set of blue gums in Tasmania, several hectares of olives at Bort, and a share in a nice winery in Margaret River in Western Australia, which all sounded very nice. He said I'd be helping the local producers, and it was great to be investing in Australian agriculture.
Part of the problem was that Greg White did not understand what he had invested in. He did own the blue gum trees, but not the land they grew on. He didn't own the olive trees at all, just a share of the harvest profits, if ever the trees fruited. And the wine grape profits never materialised. In fact, Greg White alleges his advisor hadn't told him all sorts of things about MIS agribusiness schemes by the time they crashed in 2008.
But what he never said to you is, well, if the trees don't grow that fast or the olives don't have flowers, you could be locked into this scheme virtually forever. And in all the cases, none of them ever lived up to what he promised them to be.
Greg White also signed up for margin loans, which are borrowings against the equity in shares to invest in a portfolio of more shares. But by the end of 2008, Greg White lost everything. His agribusiness schemes were broke, his blue chip shares all sold, with, he says, no warning from his financial advisor.
There was actually nothing left. The shares by the end of 2008, of the shares that I had left, would barely cover the loans in the margin. So effectively, that was all gone.
Like Greg White and hundreds of others who invested in the doomed Timbercorp agribusiness, Naomi Halpin from Melbourne didn't understand the package she bought through her advisor.
What he recommended that we do was, first of all, to get an investment loan against the equity in our houses, and then to have a margin loan that would match the investment loan and to buy shares. We've just heard this same story time and time again. what I'm doing is safe, it's conservative, I'll never put your home at risk. And in terms of the agribusiness side of the investment, so he put me in an agribusiness, I think the first time was in around 2000 or 2001. He would tell me that they were government endorsed, they were government backed schemes, that they were really helping the economy grow, they were helping rural areas and farmers.
Well, why didn't Greg White seek a second opinion about the risks his advisor might be getting him into?
The many years, it had all been sheer growth. Well, the share market was good and everything that he'd done for me had was working away really well. And, of course, he never gave us any real information. You just sort of were given these things or these advice and you just trusted what he gave you. And it's not until we got to the global financial crisis that you began to question, you know, possibly the risks involved, because we were never informed of any risks. There was never any talk of downside.
What is galling for Naomi Halpin is she said she did seek expert second opinion, but she too trusted her advisor.
Came with very, very good credentials. He had been working in accountancy in the tax department for many years. He was very qualified. It seemed to me that if I'm going to one person for advice, it's a bit like going to, you know, a doctor. If a doctor, you know, recommends a particular course of treatment, then you're in the situation of thinking, well, this is the person who's the expert and understands what the issue is and what needs to be done.
Timbercorp and other agribusiness schemes were promoted as tax-deductible investments in rural Australia. But at the time, upfront commissions for promoters were lucrative, and it wasn't unheard of for the promoters to be paid 10%. One of the advisors heavily involved in promoting Timbercorp, Peter Holt of Melbourne, was banned in 2012 for 3 years from offering financial advice by the Australian Securities and Investment Commission after reviewing 6 complaints from clients.
ASIC found that Mr. Holt failed to have a reasonable basis for the advice he gave to retail clients. Further, Mr. Holt failed to disclose the costs and benefits that may be lost in switching a client's superannuation and failed to ensure the business maintained professional indemnity insurance.
Peter Holt can resume as a financial planner in September, and the leniency of ASIC's ban has been slammed by federal politicians. Labor's Senator Sam Dastyari used parliamentary privilege in June 2014 to name Peter Holt, saying his clients who suffered terrible losses were mechanics, trade teachers, animal carers and retirees. Senator Dastyari said Timbercorp agribusiness schemes were made to sound idyllic and...
Peter Holt assured his victims that while their investments had a level of risk, of course their homes would be safe, knowing full well that these families were putting their property, lives and livelihoods on the line.
After Timbercorp collapsed in 2009, some clients who found their homes were on the line and their savings gone tried to sue Holt, but they withdrew on finding Peter Holt had only $2 million in indemnity insurance. By 2011, Holt went bankrupt, as he too had invested heavily in Timbercorp schemes, owing $2.5 million. Now the ABC can reveal the bankruptcy trustee, Grant Thornton, is opening a public investigation of Peter Holt's bankruptcy in the federal court in Melbourne later this month. A letter to Peter Holt's clients says people connected with him may be called before the federal court. ASIC said Peter Holt's bankruptcy, owing $27 million to a range of creditors in 2011, was so large as to raise a serious question about Peter Holt's ability to manage his own financial affairs. Other victims of the collapse of Timbercorp are still being pursued for their debts by the liquidators Cordamentha. One of those is David Yakimyuk of Melbourne.
I have 2 young children at primary school. I'm in my late 40s. Staring down the barrel of bankruptcy, if that was to be the case, unable to continue in my professional work.
So you get loans for small business. In a sense, you're a business loan broker.
That's exactly right, yes.
David Yakimyuk's case was one of the 6 that ASIC referred to in its 3-year ban on Peter Holt. Given Holt's ban runs out in September, Mr. Yakimyuk is not happy.
That's just an appalling result. I mean, there is no question about the wrongdoing of Holt. And for him to be able to sort of sit by the sidelines and be banned for 3 years when there's almost universal acceptance that he's done the wrong thing is just a farce.
Peter Holt has a new accountancy firm in East Kew, Melbourne, and has declined to comment for this story. But he did respond to the Senate inquiry hearing in Melbourne last November in a submission. He wrote,
"The MIS industry was the fault of terrible legislation which allowed responsible entities to do as they wish without appropriate investor protection. As far as Holt Norman and thousands of other advisers who recommended Timbercorp were concerned, the recommendations were based on a product that the government encouraged by providing tax breaks, the ATO supported by providing product rulings, ASIC approved via acceptance of product disclosure statements, and independent experts assessed as investment grade."
ASIC Commissioner Greg Tanzer confirms it is reviewing more material on Peter Holt.
Well, at the moment we're looking at the information that we received from a number of investors and indeed from the Holt Norman Baker Action Group and just assessing whether there's information there that would give us a basis for reopening inquiries into Mr. Holt.
Stung by criticism, it's not doing enough to protect people from questionable financial advice. Greg Tanzer says ASIC banned 57 financial advisers last year.
And just earlier this year, in February this year, we achieved a sentence of over 6 years for a criminal case involving Melinda Scott, a financial advisor who defrauded 150 of her clients of over $5.9 million.
Senator Nick Xenophon says the government needs to compensate the failed agribusiness investors who lost so much money because they were involved in tax incentive schemes.
We basically know what needs to be done, and that is to ensure that the victims of these failed schemes of Timbercorp, of Great Southern and other schemes, and their victims number in the many thousands, ought to receive a measure of compensation to allow them to get their lives back on track.
But the Federal Assistant Treasurer, Joshua Frydenberg, says there is no plan to hold a Royal Commission nor offer individual compensation. His statement said,
"The government is committed to raising the professional, ethical and education standards of financial advisers. We have established an enhanced public register of financial advisers. This register will enable consumers to verify adviser credentials and thereby increase transparency and accountability in the sector."
But on the coalition's backbench is National Senator John Williams, who has consistently called for a royal commission into the financial services industry. He says the registry should also list the black marks against bad financial advisers.
And I put it to ASIC yesterday, we should be going to that register and say, if you have been suspended and banned from the industry for a period of time, that must clearly be on your website of your history, so that when anyone searches advisers to check their history to get some financial advice, they can see the wrongdoings as well as the right doings. One of my goals is to make ASIC a feared, effective regulator, and of course, they're a long way from there now.
What needs to happen in the financial services sector generally? You're calling for a royal commission, but it's not supported by your government.
No, it's not. I've called that royal commission from many years back when we first launched the inquiry into the liquidators, and I think as we go along, the strength and the muscle for a royal commission will grow and grow. And I'm confident that hopefully sometime in the future we will get that Royal Commission. I do feel sorry, Serena, for the very, very good financial planners. And there are thousands of them who give good advice, put their customers' interests first. But we've got these rogues that have been highlighted through our inquiries and they've got to be taken out of the industry. But one of my big concerns also is, of course, financial products. Look at the crazy financial products we had, from Storm Financial to Timbercorp to Great Southern to Trio Capital. Cost the Australian people, hardworking good Aussies, billions. And we not only look at the financial planners, ASIC and its role and how it carries out its duties, but also the financial products that are out there as well, Serena.
That's National Senator John Williams on the Senate inquiry ending Serena Locke's report. And there are several investigations underway. The next Senate inquiry hearing into the financial services regulator ASIC will be in Sydney in August. And if you're interested in that story, if you'd like to read more about those investors, you can find it online at abc.net.au/rural. It's certainly a story that's not going anywhere fast. Thanks to John Jacobs for technical production this week. I'm Edwina Farley. Stay listening to RN.